Welcome to the Accelerate and Streamline for Better Customer Service panel, sponsored by CA Technologies. Here's your host, Tom Temin.
Our guests today are Carolyn Colvin, Deputy Commissioner of the Social Security Administration, Mariella Malero, Associate Director, Customer Services and Public Engagement at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, and Seth Harris, Deputy Secretary of Labor, and Bill Clark, Public Sector Chief Technology Officer at CA Technologies. Great to have you all on here this morning. And our basic topic today is Executive Order 13571. That's the Customer Service Improvement Order that came from the President in 2011. And we're going to explore what has happened in the year since then and how agencies are getting about that whole Customer Service Improvement Initiative. But why don't we begin by getting a little survey about what your agencies are doing now with respect to customer service. What is it you do to interact with the public that needs, or at least the president thinks, needs improvement? Why don't we start with Social Security, Carolyn?
Well, it's always been part of our culture to provide excellent customer service. I think the executive order has just reinforced that it is important to look for ways to improve service delivery. As you know, we have three primary programs, our retirement program, our disability program, and the SSI program, which is also a general-funded disability program. We had about 44 million customers who came into our field offices, and we had about 63 million phone calls. And we're now, of course, doing much of our work online, and we're continuing to look for ways that we can improve that through technology.
So basically, every American at some point is going to touch on Social Security.
Absolutely. We pay out about $750 billion a year to 60 million customers, and then many others are simply seeking additional information.
Okay, and let's move on to U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Mariella, you are dealing with people that may not be citizens yet or want to be.
Well, we are, we're honestly dealing with a world, and I know that it sounds like a very, high-level statement, but it is the truth. We manage approximately 6.5 million applications and petitions, and these are individuals that are seeking all sorts of different services, as you suggested, Tom. You have the individual who's interested in becoming a citizen. You have the one that is here for employment-based reasons. You have the individual who wants to maybe secure a green card. That level of diversity is not just the geography of where they come from, which is an incredible challenge for the agency and also a tremendous opportunity for us to maybe talk a little bit about today. But it's an incredible challenge for the agency to provide customer service to the world. When you think about immigration and you think about the volume that we take in, we're taking a very strong, very robust, we're incredibly focused on delivering services to the customers because it's incredibly important for us that those customers are informed, that they have access to what they need to be able to navigate the system, a system that can be complex, but our job is not to make it complex. Our job is to make it easier, to make this accessible. And then after they've had the opportunity to navigate the system, the other aspect of the services that we provide is the ability to access the organization so that they can have a sense of where those 6.5 million cases are. So we have indeed developed a number of tools to help customers navigate the system. We also have two primary services that we deliver. One is is your traditional call center, because in addition to the geography and the diversity, the international diversity, you also have different levels of comfort in terms of engaging with government in general. You have the individual who's incredibly talented, your outstanding professor and researcher that maybe will have a little bit of a language barrier to overcome, but can navigate the system and can do so fairly easily. And then you have the person who is newly arrived that maybe needs a little bit more of an orientation. We take 955,000 telephone calls a month. And then we have the website, so we can expand on all of this. But customer service is the backbone of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services.
And Seth Harris from the Labor Department.
Well, our picture is a fairly complicated one. We are a federated agency. We have 24 different enterprises inside the Labor Department and hundreds of different products and services that we provide to the public. Like CIS, we have a national contact center, which gets about 200,000 calls a month, about 200,000 emails a year. But we also have a number of other channels through which the public communicates with us. One of the complicated factors for us is we serve everyone from CEOs of Fortune 100 corporations to migrant farm workers with limited English proficiency. And we serve them in a wide variety of ways, everything from employment law enforcement to pension protection to workforce training opportunities to workers' compensation programs to unemployment insurance. So we have a complicated set of outgoing services that we provide, and we have a complicated customer base that we have to serve, and we have a fairly complicated structure in the department. So that's why this effort that was driven by the president's executive order to focus customer service and to try to bring together a centralized effort on customer service is so important to us, because in some places we're doing a terrific job, in other places we're doing a not so terrific job, in some places we have sophisticated technologies being applied, in some cases it's basically people answering the telephone and writing on a piece of paper. So we're trying to move the entire organization forward into the 21st century, with the president's executive order being the initiative behind that.
Okay, and Bill Clark, you are the public sector CTO for CA Technology, so you kind of have a government-wide view or cross-government view. What are you seeing in terms of customer service trends?
Okay, well, first of all, we're seeing a move to try to innovate quicker and bring those services that continue to grow, even like, for instance, mobile applications. There's a lot of talk around using that to provide better service. So there's a lot of complicated technologies behind that, but we're looking at the agencies themselves preparing for what we call more agile development practices to get those services to market quicker, automation to bring that technology or those services into production faster, and then technologies to make sure that those services are being delivered at the correct service levels to the right constituents.
Okay, so this executive order hit, again, about a year and a half ago, 13571, to improve customer service in a number of different means. Let's start again with Social Security. Carolyn, how has that affected Social Security? What are some of the initiatives you have underway to meet the order, but really the objective is to improve customer service?
Well, with the increasing workloads that we are experiencing and the reduction in staff, we've really had to rely on automation more and more. We are trying to encourage our customers to use our online services. We are able to take an application for both retirement and disability online, as well as Medicare. We want them to know that they do not need to come into our offices. They can take those applications, or we can take those applications, and they can be in the privacy of their homes. We also are, I think, one of the first agencies to provide Spanish online service, and we're excited about that because the language barriers can be complex, can be difficult, and this is another means of facilitating or expediting service delivery. We are also, we have card centers in about 7 sites. The reason for that is because providing the Social Security cards is one of our heaviest workloads. And so we found that it's much more efficient to enable people to go into a specific facility that does only cards, Social Security cards. Replacement cards is a big workload for us. And so we're trying to centralize that information. We have about 1,300 field offices throughout the country, and we have a number of teleservice centers and processing centers. And so it's just looking at how we can make those facilities more efficient. Health information technology is a big plus for us now that we're able to have electronic health records. We're able to expedite the processing of our disability claims much more quickly. And so for us, automation is a big key to being able to substitute for some of the staff that we're losing.
And so the Social Security card still remains something that people have even in this day and age of so-called paperless.
Absolutely. I think that many people need that card for employment purposes and other reasons. They lose the card, and so they come in and we do a replacement. And that's a high-volume business for us. We try to encourage them to put that in a safe place so that they can retain it, but that hasn't actually worked to date.
Okay, and Mariella, how has 13571 affected USCIS?
The executive order, Tom, has been a catalyst for change at multiple levels within the organization. I'll start with a phenomenal initiative that we actually launched publicly May 22nd. And that is our electronic platform for the processing of immigration petitions. I think that that is, as I was mentioning, 6.5 million interactions with the agency in the application and petition context. So to be able to provide an electronic platform, not just for the customers, externally speaking, to be able to file immigration petitions, to track their cases, to communicate with the agency, to update their profiles, to be able to do all of this incredibly important work online, but also very importantly, and we can't forget about when we think customers, we need to think about our internal customers as well, and how the 18,000 men and women that today work at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services play a significant role in advancing also the interest of the executive order and the interest of technology in the customer service arena. So to be able to file that application and petition in this electronic system, we call the system ELIS, as in Ellis Island, but it is really truly the electronic legal immigration system. And ELIS allows not just the customer to have the interaction, but the employee and the adjudicator and the other side of this transaction to be able to also have this electronic interaction. That was absolutely phenomenal, and the executive order was a catalyst for a significant amount of change. As I mentioned, this being one, we have one application, in ELIS today, but we envision a fairly aggressive move towards more applications within the next year or so, and then, you know, continue to include as many as we possibly can. The other thing that we have done, Tom, that I think is incredibly important is that we have expanded significantly a customer's ability to check his or her status online. That's the place to go. We have 26 phenomenal offices across the country and field offices in many communities, but the place to go is online for a lot of our customers, and we know that. So we're expanding the executive order, again, being at the forefront of what we're trying to accomplish here. We've expanded a lot of our capabilities online to give customers that option.
Okay, and Seth Harris at Labor, how has the executive order 13571 changed things, or what are you doing to fulfill it?
Well, my experience has been that the president's executive order really galvanized a focus in my organization, and I think in all the cabinet agencies, on not just customer service, but the role of government. You know, when the president talks about government, he reminds us that the reason that we have government is because it allows us to accomplish things that we couldn't accomplish alone. And that is a central concept of his approach to government, and that puts customer service right at the heart of government's function. It's our job to produce things for the American people on their behalf that they can't produce as effectively on their own. So we use the president's executive order to get the organization focused on a customer service modernization project, which we launched immediately after the executive order. And we decided early on that we wanted to be a leader among the executive agencies in customer service, frankly, because we thought we had a long way to go. We had a lot of work that we needed to do. We launched this customer service modernization project last summer of 2011, right after the executive order. We enlisted three of our agencies all of which are worker protection agencies to become pilot agencies: the Wage and Hour Division, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and our Civil Rights Enforcement Agency, the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs. And we're focused on three things that we want to try to accomplish with this project. First is that we need to promote a culture and practice of customer service in the organization. We started training all of the folks that we're bringing into the organization on customer service as part of their onboarding process. We said it's not a tremendous training, it's not weeks and weeks, but we introduce them to the concept of customer service right at the beginning. Every decision that we make has to go through a customer service screen. We're organized, so that's the first. Second is we need to apply innovative technology to the customer service experience at the Labor Department. As I said, some of our organizations have very sophisticated technology, some of our organizations do not. It's partly a function of the budget and the way that it's structured. So we are now, actually right now, in the middle of a procurement process to get a customer relations management system in the department that we will pilot with these three agencies, these three worker protection agencies, each of which has a very complicated set of customer relationships that they need to manage. And then we will use that technology, and in an agile development modular approach, we are going to use that technology to serve more and more of our agencies over time. And then we had to put somebody in charge. One of the biggest problems that happens in government is we talk a lot about customer service, but nobody owns it. We want everybody to own it with somebody in the lead. We're creating a customer service program office that will have the leadership role under my direction, my personal direction, in getting customer service into all the performance measurements, all the operating plans of the agencies, in all the training that we do, and in every interaction we have with the public.
Our guests today are Mariela Melero. She is the Associate Director, Customer Service and Public Engagement at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, Seth Harris, Deputy Secretary of Labor, Bill Clark, Public Sector Chief Technology Officer at CA Technologies, and Carolyn Colvin, Deputy Commissioner of the Social Security Administration. You're listening to the Accelerate and Streamline for Better Customer Service panel, sponsored by CA Technologies on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin.
From the cornfield to the battlefield, information services are the fuel that powers the business of government. But the big challenge for agencies is managing all the IT resources they need to deliver information all at once. CA Technologies provides the solution. Visibility, control, and security across shared services and every other element of your agency enterprise. CA Technologies develops the software and services agencies rely on to manage all their IT environments, from mainframe and distributed to virtual and the cloud.
At CA Technologies, we enable agencies to focus on service delivery, not just infrastructure, and on supporting strategic goals, not just fixing what's broken. We accelerate IT so agencies can drive innovation with the cloud and other new technologies. We transform IT to simplify complexity and free up resources. We secure IT to keep sensitive assets safe.
Find out how CA Technologies can help your agency accelerate, transform, and secure IT at ca.com/public sector.
Welcome back to the Accelerate and Streamline for Better Customer Service panel sponsored by CA Technologies here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guests today are Seth Harris, Deputy Secretary of Labor, Bill Clark, Public Sector Chief Technology Officer at CA Technologies, Carolyn Colvin, Deputy Commissioner of the Social Security Administration, and Mariela Melero, Associate Director, Customer Service and Public Engagement at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. And I'm Tom Temin. And Bill, I wanted to start with you on this idea that we've been hearing this morning of agencies moving from a merely download information or look at things kind of mode online to letting citizens complete transactions online. And that's a pretty big deal, especially for the technological back end. So how do you see agencies' front ends working with the back end to make sure that that all happens in a way that fulfills the Executive Order 13571?
Great. Well, I'll just use as an example what I did last week at the Social Security Administration site. I did sign up for the benefits to see where I stood with regards to my history of benefits. And within 5 minutes, I had been asked a series of security questions and got that information right to my browser.
At 29, so, you're already checking
Social
Security benefits.
Correct, at 29. Benefits. That's right, with 36 years experience. So when I look at what's going on behind the scenes transactionally, there's many components. And if I look at those components, not only are we talking about the data that has to be available and all of the systems that deliver that data in the applications, but something a lot of folks may not think about, but if the facilities don't have the power to drive those systems, if you run into problems with weather, how can you deliver that and make it available? And so there are all manner of technologies that go into that. So we like to not only look at it as a complex series of components that have to be tied together, visualized and understood so that that service is assured. And so there are a lot of technologies that go into that. And then on the back end, you have to make sure that the identity of the person is verified and that the access to the information, that content, is also verified that they can see it. So we call that content-aware identity management. That's going on concurrently. And then you have to measure the customer experience. you have to be able to understand not only the baseline from which you are coming, but where you want to go and how you're getting there. And it's very important for those who fund these programs to see that. And we've come out with a series of technologies. One's called Executive Insight. It takes into consideration all the elements I just mentioned. And one of the purposes and why we were asked to bring that product to market is that even commercially, the executives who are funding IT to get these services out want to know what they're getting for their dollar. And this shows the value of IT and what they're bringing.
Okay, and continuing on that theme of integration, Carolyn Colvin from Social Security, the idea of one government, of agencies getting together to have seamless service to customers and constituents they might share across agencies. How is that starting to happen since you are the broadest based agency in terms of touching Americans?
And I think this is very important. The customers need to feel that they've had a pleasant experience when they deal with government. And what we try to do is collaborate with the other agencies that are benefit-paying agencies as well as agencies that can use the data that we provide. So we have about 1,500 data exchange agreements with both federal agencies, but also our local and state government agencies. We also have some exchanges with commercial organizations, and that's all designed to facilitate the receipt of services by the customer. We have a number of partnerships with organizations like Department of Defense and VA, where we're trying to expedite the delivery of services to our wounded warriors. And we are able to learn from one another's experiences. Many times the challenges will be ensuring that the way in which we receive our data, we are able to make that data then easily received by the other organization. I think the other thing that I have found to be very important is that we need to be able to get a sense of how the service has been received by the customer. I was very pleased to hear Bill speak of his experience with the online application for retirement. But we have many roundtable discussions with our advocates to get their input about things that are working, things that are not working, things they'd like to see us do differently. We do surveys, satisfaction surveys, so we can get some sense of what we're doing that's working well, things that need to be improved, and it gives us the ability to see changes that we need to make. So we do this on an ongoing basis, and it's been very useful.
So, Tom, if I could, I just want to pick up on Carolyn's point about government working together, which is something that we in government talk about a lot, and it seems so obvious to people in the public. It seems alien to them that we wouldn't be working together, and let me say, Carolyn and Social Security and the Labor Department and I work together all the time, and it's been a tremendous partnership. But we also want that to be apparent to folks when they have an experience on the web. People don't think, gosh, I really need this particular agency or this particular program. They think, you know, I need a benefit. I think I need some money. I have a disability. What's available to me? I run a business. How do I get help? And so the Obama administration has been very aggressive in trying to form these unified presences on the web. We run one that actually just won an award from the Harvard, the Kennedy School of Government up at Harvard, called benefits.gov, which brings together all the benefit programs in the government, gives you one portal in. We run another called disability.gov, which gives people with disabilities one portal into all the disability web functions that are available from the federal government. And there are a number, there are dozens of these services. A very important concept, because people don't live their lives according to the structure of the government. They live their lives and they need the help of the government in their day-to-day life in the way they need it. And they want to be able to access us in the way without being fortunate enough to guess whether it's USCIS or some Labor Department agency or SSA that happens to provide that service.
Mariella, USCIS, I know, must be integrated into so many cross agencies. How does that work?
I like to talk about two levels of integration that I think are very relevant to the conversation that we're having right now. The first level of integration is internal. You know, we are an agency that has multiple databases that need to talk to each other when we're trying to, for example, verify somebody's status, verify the day that they enter the country, et cetera, et cetera. So we have multiple platforms that need to talk to each other. Very challenging, because some of these platforms are not in good shape because they're a little little old, and technology, technology is dog years. So we definitely have to recognize that that there's a significant level of integration that needs to happen within the organization to be able to do some of the work that we're doing. And then the other level of integration, the one that we're talking about here, is the idea of a seamless government experience. 25 years in government, we're not there yet, but we have made incredible progress. Both I speak on behalf of, for just one second, on behalf of the progress that we have made as a department. The Department of Homeland Security, established in 2003, was about integrating. It was about integrating 23 agencies, and not just organizationally speaking, but also from a systems perspective. The integration has been incredibly beneficial to government in general. I like to just say that. And then the integration that needs to happen when we launch Alice in May of this past May, it's not just, we have been working diligently for the last couple of years to get to this point. And one of the things that we recognize is that in addition to the very important partners, federal partners sitting at the table right now, both the Departments of Labor and Social Security Administration, we touch almost every, when we had our first federal executive roundtable to introduce the concept and to start having conversations with our partners as we were building the architecture, it was a room full of phenomenal individuals who are indeed stakeholders for us as well in this building the architecture for what the system is going to look like. So two levels of integration that I think are incredibly important to generate this experience that is not seamless today to our customers, but it's definitely gotten us to where we are, which is phenomenally ahead of where we were.
And I think it would be hard to have a discussion about customer service without talking about apps, because agencies are starting to build apps as opposed to just web application, the apps as we understand them from the mobile phone world. So who's got a great story about a federal app? Seth, I think you do.
Yeah, I do. And let me say this again, as a high-profile Obama administration initiative built around challenge.gov. The concept being that the public and the government are really one, and we're all trying to accomplish the same results. So let's enlist the public, particularly the developer community, in helping us to design apps that will serve the customer community that they are familiar with and that maybe we don't have as much access to as they do. So we've done a number of contests on challenge.gov where, frankly, we don't offer very much money, a few thousand dollars and dinner with the secretary or introductions to various people in the federal infrastructure or even to private entrepreneurs and venture capitalists. So for that very small award, dozens and dozens of developers take data that we have liberated from the Labor Department and mash it up into these wonderful tools. So I'll give you an example of one that we did that's called Eat, Shop, Sleep.
And that's what I mostly do in my life.
Well, then this is your app, Tom. The goal is to provide consumers with information about which retail establishments, restaurants, and hotel motel companies are violating employment laws. So if the consumer says, you know what, I don't really want to go to a restaurant that's ripping off its waiters and waitresses, they won't go there. So Eat, Shop, Sleep mashes up enforcement data from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and the Wage and Hour Division, which we have put out on the Labor Department website. It's available to anybody, with Google Maps. And they formed something like Yelp, which allows people to put in the name, either the name of a particular restaurant to see if they are in violation of the law or have been in violation of the law, or they can just look in the neighborhood and say, you know, here's 10 restaurants. I'm going to look in the neighborhood. Five of them are in violation. Five of them are not. I'm going to go to one of the five that's not. It has been phenomenally successful. The evidence of that for me was my brother, not knowing that I had been involved with this, who lives out in St. Louis, called me about this tremendous thing that he found and said, boy, this is a great thing. You guys should do something like this. I said, we did. You used it. And he made a bunch of restaurant choices on the basis of it. So it's a great, cool tool. And we've got about a half dozen under development now, a disability employment app, a worker safety and health app. We've done an equal pay app. We're really pushing this effort aggressively, as are folks across the government.
All right. And before I ask Bill about what has to happen kind of in the back end to make all that happen, I wanted to ask Mariella about the team you need to assemble to make sure that something like Ellis or the Labor Department Eat, Shop, Sleep app happens. What team building you need to do within your agency to make sure that that objective gets translated into the eventual service or technology?
Thank you, Tom. One of the things that I wanted to mention is that one of the voices that we need to bring in, so we have the voice of the business, correct? The voice of the business being the voice of the organization. That's a very important element in all of this development. The second voice that we need to bring in, and it's not necessarily in order, because I will be hard-pressed to tell you that the voice of the customer is not the first voice that we need to be listening to. So the voice of the customer, and how do we solicit the voice of the customer? It's not just a solicitation of feedback in terms of but it's trying to have as good of an understanding as we possibly can. Understanding, as I mentioned at the very beginning of our conversation today, the diversity of the customer base that we serve, that labor serves, that, you know, that we all serve in government. In reality, it's not it's not just us. It's just the reality of what government is, Seth indicated, what government is here to do. But we need to make sure that we have a real good understanding. The first element here is to understand what the customer needs, not what the agency needs, what the customer needs. So what do customers need from us? What do customers expect from this transaction? And then once we have a real good understanding of those expectations, then we start building requirements. How do we start building requirements? We need to take into account the infrastructure that we have in the agency, but most importantly, the incredible opportunities that we have to share services with the department and at the department level and with others. So you need to have the voice of the customer leading in, from my very humble perspective, the architecture of how we're going to deliver customer service. And then you need to have the reality of what is indeed out there in terms of the agency, but most importantly, what's out there in terms of shared government and shared government services, which has been incredibly important to us in the foundational work that we have done for Ellis and for other systems that we have in place today for our customers.
Okay, and Bill, how do you translate that technically? I mean, who should be on that team? It sounds like it takes a whole agency to be able to come out with a little app.
Well, that's exactly right. And so in order to facilitate that in all the different organizations and people and subject matter experts, we, in listening to our customer, came up with something we call ideation. And this product actually captures ideas and deals with the demand coming into the business so that those who look at the portfolio and determine what services to bring to market, which ones to improve, have that information. In fact, one of our largest customers who have used this capability actually were able to get about 10 million people from around the world to help them design one of their products. And they did that very rapidly. It was months, not years. And so I think those are some of the things that help facilitate it and allow what you're talking about here to take place in terms of the design and what you bring to the government.
Our guests today are Bill Clark, Public Sector Chief Technology Officer at CA Technologies, Carolyn Colvin, Deputy Commissioner of the Social Security Administration, Mariella Malero, Associate Director, Customer Service and Public Engagement at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, and Seth Harris, Deputy Secretary of Labor. You're listening to the Accelerate and Streamline for Better Customer Service panel, sponsored by CA Technologies on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin.
From the cornfield to the battlefield, information services are the fuel that powers the business of government. But the big challenge for agencies is managing all the IT resources they need to deliver information all at once. CA Technologies provides the solution: visibility, control, and security across shared services and every other element of your agency enterprise. CA Technologies develops the software and services agencies rely on to manage all their IT environments, from mainframe and distributed to virtual and the cloud.
At CA Technologies, we enable agencies to focus on service delivery, not just infrastructure, and on supporting strategic goals, not just fixing what's broken. We accelerate IT so agencies can drive innovation with the cloud and other new technologies. We transform IT to simplify complexity and free up resources. We secure IT to keep sensitive assets safe.
Find out how CA Technologies can help your agency accelerate, transform, and secure IT at ca.com/public sector.
Welcome back to the Accelerate and Streamline for Better Customer Service panel, sponsored by CA Technologies here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guests today are Carolyn Colvin, Deputy Commissioner of the Social Security Administration, Mariella Malero, Associate Director, Customer Service and Public Engagement at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, Seth Harris, Deputy Secretary of Labor, and Bill Clark, Public Sector Chief Technology Officer at CA Technologies. And Carolyn Colvin, I wanted to talk more about the customer service as it relates to getting feedback. In other words, as Mariella said before the break, it starts with the customer needs to build the requirements. What are the mechanisms that Social Security uses to find out both what customers want and need and how it's working?
Well, Tom, we've always recognized that the customer input is very important, so we begin with that even up front with usability testing even prior to the development of an application to see what the customer's experience has been. We hold a number of focus groups also so that we can have direct dialogue to get their feedback and their recommendations for any changes. We meet with our stakeholders on a regular basis to receive input relative to their satisfaction. We do actual satisfaction surveys, and we modify or make improvements based on the feedback that we get. We have found that it's important to get diverse views, so we meet with the different stakeholder communities. We have to be cognizant of the language needs that may be different, and be certain that as we're developing an application that we've taken into consideration what those diverse needs are going to be. I think we've been very successful in that respect. We have regular group meetings when I travel around the country to our various regions. I always use an opportunity to pull together any stakeholder groups in the area who are interested. That includes individuals who may be veteran organizations or disability organizations or any of the various populations that we serve, the business community, faith-based community. One of the things that we also do is get feedback from our frontline staff. I mean, they're on the front line. They know what's working, what's not working. They are the ones who receive the calls if something isn't working quite right, or if they get a number of inquiries in a particular area that indicates that we need to be providing more information so that their experience online or on the phone or when they walk into the office is a good one.
Do you also get reports in electronic forms on what's been happening on the web and so forth?
Absolutely, yes.
All right, and Seth, you said earlier that the application, the app, Eat, Sleep, Shop, is very popular. How do you know that, and how do you know what's going on with respect to the various customer service initiatives that you know they're effective?
With the apps, it's actually we have some very easy ways to measure success, is how many people are downloading it and what's the commentary on it. There are a number of places where people can comment on iTunes apps and other apps that they download. This idea of customer interaction and customer feedback is extremely important. You know, the nature of our customer base, and this is true for everybody that interacts with the public, has really changed quite dramatically because the customer has changed. You know, we live in a Starbucks society where you get to decide the size, temperature, flavor, and caffeine content of your coffee. People are used to being able to bank from their telephone. Government has to be able to provide services in the way that people are accustomed to receiving services, particularly our younger customers, you know, customers from the ages of 18 to 35, are not emailing one another anymore. They're texting each other, and they want to be able to interact with their government in that way. They don't see us as being different from the retail establishments or the other commercial establishments with whom they're interacting. So we have to catch up and develop in a way that is more like what the private sector is doing, and interact with them and assess what they want in a much, much more sophisticated way. So a very simple change that we made on our website is we give folks an opportunity to tell us in just about every circumstance, was this page helpful? Not a very detailed survey, but just a quick survey. Did it help you? And it gives feedback to our agencies as they update our website and each page of the website to make sure that they're good at providing good quality customer service through that channel. So we really need to keep the customer involved in our discussions through evaluations, through feedback, through surveys, through other processes, so that we know what they want, when they want it, because they're changing all the time.
And Mariella, of course, USCIS is dealing with people now that are young in the Deferred Action Program, and that tends to be a very mobile population. So I imagine that's part of the thinking that you're doing as you deploy better customer service initiatives.
Exactly. The idea that we're serving, as you mentioned, a constituency that is somewhere between the ages of, let's say, 15 and 31, is a very, is a phenomenally challenging constituency from the perspective of following the customer, because they are indeed at the very, very forefront of technology, have been incredibly used to it, were born with it, and continue to lead the development of technology. So, do we have the ability and the flexibility as government to be able to adapt and adapt with such nimble, agile, in such agile fashion to the demands of customers that are interacting with the agency for the very first time? Not yet, but we're definitely going there. But I'd like to talk a little bit also about customer engagement and the different levels of engagement that we have with our customers. We have the foundational engagement work that happens in our local offices. That happens in a, it's not about our local offices, it's about communities. I believe that the voice of the customer is best captured from the perspective of that voice in that community, because there is a significant amount of impact that we also have in terms of geography. Some communities are a little bit more connected to the web and connected to all of this wonderful technology than others. In some of our customers, I think Seth mentioned the farm worker, the agriculture worker, the 15 to 31, some of them are in school, some of them are so I think it's incredibly important that we continue to do that work. We have a team that does customer engagement and public engagement, and we conduct somewhere between 2,500 to 3,000 local engagements a year. So we're reaching out to 250,000 individuals across the country.
And as you think about deploying forms, I know that's a big effort at USCIS, putting forms online and letting people interact. You must be thinking ahead to mobility versions of those forms.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And that's what ALICE is all about. Our second level of engagement then happens at the call center level. You know, you take 12 million calls a year, 12 million telephone calls a year. You carry,
That's more than my daughter makes.
Are you sure? Are you sure? So that's another level of engagement. We survey monthly. We are constantly, we do callbacks. And we do callbacks. We don't just survey and look at the survey. We look at the level of, we're happy that people are satisfied with the services. But those that are not, we literally call. A random sample, obviously, but we call them back and we have those conversations with customers. We have the ability. I was answering some customer calls last night because I think it's very important at the executive level that we don't lose touch with that voice. We need to have that voice with us and in us, and particularly those of us that are leading customer service change within our organizations. And then that third level of engagement happens at the web. We are possibly, if not the first, the second most visited, federal website because of, again, the volume that we carry every single day. And there's just, like Seth mentioned, those opportunities, those moments of delivery that are very discreet but incredibly informative in terms of, you know, are we really truly listening to the customer? It's very difficult for government sometimes to ask the question, are we really truly listening to the customer?
Carolyn.
I think one important group of customers we've not spoken about are our contractors and our vendors. And within SSA, we are looking at improving our processes to be able to pay our vendors and contractors more quickly. I think this is especially important as we look at the economic climate and the need to be able to ensure that our small businesses as well as our large businesses continue to be viable.
All right. So with given all this volume of information that has to be assessed, 15 million phone calls, all the contractors, all the web visits, Bill Clark of CA, is there a way that this can be assessed in some automated way to even make better sense of it than just the one-to-one sampling that might occur?
Sure. I'd like to address that real quick on the innovation side. We've been talking about capturing information from customers, and that's agreed to be extremely important. But on the other side as well, I think we'd all agree, it's amazing how innovative the government is in and of itself. When you look at whether it's through the NASA program or you look at the internet coming out of DARPA, it reminds me of Henry Ford when asked, what do your customers want? And he said they want a faster horse. So a lot of times we have to also look, and there's a lot of talent in the government to bring innovation. And so collecting it from your customer as well as internally being innovative is great. From our standpoint, you know, what you just mentioned is very complicated, capturing all the components behind the scenes, delivering a service, and then bringing that together in a composite view. There are a lot of touch points, and it's not child's play. has a lot of complexity in doing it. And so there are a lot of initiatives today that we're doing that at various agencies today where we're delivering that view of a transaction real time and who's, you know, what components are involved so you can actually identify where the breach is and quickly remediate. And that's, you know, restoring a service quickly is as important as delivering it because you will have problems.
And, of course, getting that customer feedback and constant improvement loop is all part of Executive Order 13571. So how does it work in the next step? That is, once you have knowledge, how does that translate back to improvement? Seth?
Well, that's a very important question for us, and that's the centerpiece of this approach that Bill has been talking about, and he couldn't be more right, and it's this agile, modular development approach. You know, the traditional way in which government has bought technology has been we set out a set of requirements, we buy hardware and software, and that's it for the foreseeable future until we buy another big box with a bunch of software attached to it, and it's extremely expensive, and it gets obsolete pretty quick. Technology develops very, very quickly. Often you buy a system and it's either obsolete or a couple of versions behind by the time you've got it fully implemented. The agile approach, the modular approach, where you're doing it in pieces and evolving with the needs of your business processes is absolutely critical to success over time. And this is something that President Obama's Office of Management and Budget has been pushing very, very aggressively. They want us to bite off smaller chunks and smaller amounts of money in shorter periods of time, develop as we go, and then get to a full system over time that will itself be in a position to evolve. That's what we're trying to do with our customer relations management system. A very important part of that process is the cloud. Our customer relations management system, like several of our other systems, including our email system, which we're now procuring, is going to be in the cloud. And, you know, if you don't buy the box and keep it in your own building, you have the opportunity to let organizations like Google, Microsoft, and integrators like CA and others to help you to evolve the system without yourself having to buy all the hardware. And so it allows you to do rapid development, agile development, modular development in a much more sophisticated way. So for us, that's really going to be critical because our needs are constantly changing. Our customers are constantly changing. Our laws are constantly changing. The benefits we're providing are constantly changing. We have to change with them.
And Carolyn, at Social Security, what's the mechanism for getting all that feedback from the offices and from the web and so forth to feed back into the systems to keep things going in the right direction?
Well, I think we are always looking at best practices. We're looking at what other organizations are doing. We don't believe that we necessarily have to start from scratch if an organization, another federal agency, is doing something that might be beneficial. We look at how we could be able to transfer that and utilize that system. So we're always looking at what's happening and what's about to be developed. This is an area that we're just beginning to move into in SSA. So,
yeah, the whole idea of shared services, too, I imagine, is probably fairly new for Social Security.
Well, we're so huge that many times when we talk about shared services, many organizations have individual organizations within their agency, and they were separate, and now they're bringing them together. SSA has always been centralized, and so when you look at the size of our operation, we probably have our own cloud and some of the other kinds of things that some of the organizations are just beginning to develop.
And Mariella, what's going on in terms of, you know, feeding it back to make sure things do get better?
Most important thing we're hearing from our customers is that they want options. They want options in terms of how to interact with it, with the agency. One size is definitely not going to fit all. So that's where we're working on very diligently. What are the options? For some customers, it's going to be an email. For some customers, it's going to be a callback. For some customers, it's going to be the ability to leave us a message and make sure that we return the call. So making sure that the voice of the customer is really truly, the foundational design work has to be done based on what the customer needs. Alice, the electronic platform, is all about listening to the voice of the customer, from how to set up an account to how to manage that account. It's not us managing the account. It's the customer managing the account, and we managing then the interaction that comes out of that account, which is the filing of an application or petition that has all been driven. The entire design has been driven by what customers would like to see in terms of how they interact with the agency. And last but not least, listening to the voice of a customer and making the adjustments and the changes that we know that we can make as government. For example, is it really truly important to the customer to know that it takes 5 months to process an application or petition for citizenship in a particular city? Or is it more important to the customer to know exactly where his or her application is in the process? So we made some changes, also a challenge that the president gave us, 90 days to make a difference in how we communicate this very discreet but yet incredibly important for the customer piece, which is, where is my? Glad to know that 10,000 people are applying, but where am I in the process? So we made the changes and we delivered. So that's what the voice does. The voice dictates where we go.
And do you also share services with other agencies within Homeland Security to kind of economize? And
definitely. And it is the shared services that we take full advantage of. And the department has been at the forefront of offering us the opportunity to do so. A lot of significant innovation is happening internally and internal, because that internal customer being so important, as we were discussing earlier, you know, from our email to our enterprise collaboration network, all of those shared services are incredibly, incredibly important to us.
And Bill, at CA, is there any way that agencies can get a low-cost way to get, we've been talking about agile development, but can you preview or somehow test things ahead of time so that you don't go too far down some expensive development path before deploying a system?
Well, that's a good point. Indeed, so there's this new term in the industry today called service virtualization that addresses what you're describing. When you're talking about agile development processes, it's modular. And you look at what has to go in on composite apps. It was brought up earlier, Seth said they take advantage of Google Maps as an example. Well, there are hundreds of those examples where the code base itself may not be owned by the agency. It may need to be shared. And in that case, there's technology today to simulate those code bases and make them available to developers without the infrastructure itself having to be there. I can test my code against other composite components of the application, which is great. And not only is it speed development, I can test more, I lower the defects, I have a better quality capability at the end of the day. So those are some of the technological advances that we've been involved in.
And I guess we'll have to end it there. I wish we could have more time. Our wonderful guests today have been Carolyn Colvin, Deputy Commissioner of the Social Security Administration, Mariela Malero, Associate Director, Customer Service and Public Engagement at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, Seth Harris, Deputy Secretary of Labor, and Bill Clark, Public Sector Chief Technology Officer at CA Technologies. And we thank you for listening to Accelerate and Streamline for Better Customer Service, sponsored by CA Technologies. If you missed any portion of the show, you can listen to it in its entirety and on demand at federalnewsradio.com. I'm Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.